Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that we get to come to a building that is warm on a cold night, that is comfortable, that is in a country that is free to do as we please. There's so many places around this world that we would not even think to be able to do something like this, to come as we go, to stay, to worship loud, to have a Bible in our hand. So we just thank you for giving us that availability to be able to do it. And with that comes great burdens to a point of things that we need to do with the information that we're going to learn over the weekend. That it's something that all of us are going to be required to be held accountable for, to take throughout the places that we travel back to. Of all the places that we have people from, there's going to be a lot of ground covered from here to there, and people that are going to get ran into that are going to need to hear something from what's being taught this weekend. We just pray that you can just fill this building with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just need you to run rampant through this building. There's trouble on the horizon, and this is the answers that we need. This weekend will provide us the answers that we need to be providing to the people that are lost and searching in a world with no hope and no answers. So we just pray that you can help all of us to hear what you've got. I am not worthy to stand up here and pretend that I know anything about anybody in this room and the struggles and the problems that they have or the directions that they need to go. I'm just a tool to be used by you. It needs to be your words that are spoken that need to touch and work through everybody in this room. So, Father, we just pray that we can humble ourselves this weekend to listen. That's going to be the hardest thing to do, is to be able to put the distractions away and the chaos that's in our brains, is to just put that at the back and just focus and be changed by what you've got. Father, if there's anything that's said this weekend that is confusing or not correct, that we just pray that the Holy Spirit can work through and change and correct that and be able to be make that clear to any confusion that can be done. And we just ask that you just bless our time of fellowship together. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So our theme verse, it's not a verse, it's actually a whole chapter, is Psalm 71. So we'll look at a little bit of that. If you want to turn there, that's probably where we're going to be for the majority of the time tonight. I'm going to hopefully be used to kind of lay a foundation of what the direction of these next couple days are going to be. So I always like to start with questions. And when I ask a question to myself, I need to ask, of what am I doing here? Why am I here? Am I here because it's a nice break? Is it here for some of you that you've drove so long and flew so many hours to get here that you're going to use it as a vacation? Is it to see good friends, good fellowship, good food that somebody can bring clear from Pakistan? Is it because we want to prove to others that we know what we're talking about and how much we know? Are we here to prove that others will think more highly of us? Are we here because our parents drug us halfway across the nation? That's the only reason why? Or are we here from this local area because somebody expected us to show up? What is our real motivation? Why are we here? I asked that because before we go into this weekend, I look at it as a very important question, because it's something that each one of us need to examine within our own soul. Of what do we expect? What do we want out of this? What are we looking for? What is our motivation that we're truly here for? There's so many things that it's kind of neat to be able to do a conference in Kansas so close to this and have that information in your brain, but I don't know if that helps you, because it almost makes you lose focus of what this theme is. But at the end, it's going to all tie together, because that's what God's going to do. It's not our job to stand up here and try to make you understand or try to force teaching upon you. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you differently something that you will hear tonight, something that you will hear with Doug in the morning, something that Fasta will do tomorrow afternoon, and something that Roger will finish with on Sunday. So we need to examine in our own souls, what am I really here for? What do I want to learn? Because there's a famine coming on the land. A great example that was given in Kansas was of the storehouses. The time of the plenty that we have, what are we doing with that food that we're going to need to provide and get us through the famine? Are we sitting idle? That's something with this overall of this chapter of being, what am I possessing my time with? What am I passionate about that I already know about, but I'm too comfortable to be passionate about it? What are we doing with that information? Are we storing it right now? Because right now it's readily available. We have it at our fingertips. We have it. Our life as a whole is easy. Do we have trials, tribulations, tests, and things that come upon us? Absolutely. But as a whole, in the scheme of things, we are very comfortable right now. And we're all foolish to think that that's going to last forever. Things are changing at a very rapid pace. Our job that God desires for us to do is to have that food readily available for when the world comes looking to us for answers. Because you drive 1,700 miles to get here, you fly however many miles, you do whatever you do to get here, it shows that it's of some value. That value is going to become necessary to the people that we deal with. We are responsible for our own 6 feet. We can take something from here. We will take something in the days that are coming. In the time when the famine hits, your 6 feet is going to be chaos. What are you going to be within your 6 feet? This whole chapter goes through and goes over that God is the Savior. God has saved him from his struggles and his problems. He's his refuge. He's his safe house. It goes on and on and on. And at the end of the chapter, he turns around and he praises God for that. Why? How? The bigger question is, how does he do it? That's what we need to take from this, is God, what are you trying to say through this, that through all of our struggles, our trials, what are we supposed to see? How can we handle them so at the end of the day we can turn around and we can still praise you? And it talks about the older generation turning and giving things to the younger children. That means that there's enough information there that we should be gathering. We should be able to have that when asked. And my thing is, I don't want to wait till I'm old. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. So why do I want to wait till I'm old and gray to be able to have information to be able to give to somebody? Why can't I do it now? Why can't I do it now in my 6 feet? And that's what this conference is for. That's what the Kansas conference was for. All of this stuff is going to line up that we're sitting here and we're being refined and we're being renewed by. It's to change your 6 feet. I'm sick and tired of my life, of all of the complaining and things about this nation, because everybody is complacent in their own life. And complacency that we're at in this nation is because, is this real to us? Is God's word real to us? Is our motivations of why we're here real to us? Because that's what's going to change. We are the problem just as much as everybody else is in the problem in this nation that we complain and whine about. We're just as much guilty because we have the answers, yet so often we don't try to reflect that. So Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Luke 16:15 Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and he said, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." We're not fooling anyone. We're fooling ourselves from the truth that we should have. We can't fool God. The omniscient, all-knowing character of God knows the stuff that's in our head and in our hearts before we can even think it or say it. God knows the temperature of our soul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 10, "But Jesus said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I, which is Paul, will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest or dwell upon me. Therefore I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, I am strong.'" This weekend, God's grace will be supplied. God's power will come alive. People looking in from the outside, worldly perspective of what this weekend consists of, they're going to insult you. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to make things difficult. They will not understand, and they're going to make it hard for you to concentrate this weekend. But it's for those people's benefit just as much as it's our benefit that we are here. Those are the people that we're here for. Just as much as we are here to learn, we're here to learn to be able to affect those people that we run into that don't understand what we're doing. Why would you fly from Washington to Iowa to go sit in a church all weekend? Why would you take your family 1,700 miles across the road, through the mountains, through everything else in the middle of winter to come sit in a church all weekend? It don't make sense at all. We're here this weekend to check ourselves. We're here to put the wood on the fire. We've been, like I said before, so much of the problem in this nation with our complacency and complaining that this nation needs a revival. God has made you for such a time as this, and the time is now. The harvest is plentiful. We all complain about it and we all see it. There's plenty of people out there that need to know who Jesus is. And this goes back to tying into Kansas, that it's not just the unsaved that need you in their life. It's our other brothers and sisters that know who Jesus is that can take and they can say, "What am I here for?" And they can't align with the reason that they're here for. They're just here to make somebody happy, or they're here just to pacify somebody. So Kansas tying into this, God does what he does so we can see him as he is. By faith, life is made real to us. God cannot heal until we've been wounded. Fassel said downstairs, that is, it is time for the comfortable to be uncomfortable and for the uncomfortable to be comforted. That's what this weekend is for. That is what we're here to do for one another. We need to use our affliction or afflictions to bring somebody to Jesus, not just speaking of salvation. How many Christians are not walking with the Lord? How many have given up and are discouraged or are distracted? Me not being omniscient and not all-knowing, but I can look through here and I can see that I pretty well know everybody here. And I would say, yes, that you know who Jesus Christ is and what he did for you on the cross, but that's still a thing that's between you and God. I can't make that call whether you're going to be in eternity with him forever or not. But I can look through here and say, I'm pretty sure you all got a pretty good idea. But there's still things that I need to hear this weekend that need to tweak me, that need to change me so I can leave here and change my 6 feet that are around me. A revival wouldn't be that hard in this nation if we would all do our job seriously. If we would all take our life in our walk serious with the people that we run into every day, and if we truly live it, and it is what comes out, it's our compassion, it's what we're passionate about. And I'm not trying to put Fassel on a pedestal, but if you can act more like him, to a, it don't matter what type of conversation you're having with him, it comes out. We were talking about muscle memory this morning. There was an awesome story about a Navy SEAL called, his name was Mike Day. He was shot 27 times. He walked through the door, had his rifle shot out of his hand in a room full of insurgents. His muscle memory, what he did was he grabbed his pistol and he went and he killed every single one of them in that room. He then went further and continued to clear the house and walk himself out to the medevac and load himself in the medevac after being shot 27 times. And the only reason that he's alive is because he didn't panic. He went to do what his muscle memory was. His muscle memory through his training was to grab his pistol. He knew that his pistol was within arm's reach. He had it. It was there. It was a natural thing to do. That's what the Word of God should be with us. The Word of God needs to be beaten to our head to become a muscle memory, a natural reaction that just spews forth. That's what the Word of God should be, because then everybody that's around us, they're not going to have the choice but not to hear the Word of God. That would create change. That would create a revival in this nation. We look at that and we look at Billy Graham as something that we could never do that. We could never stand up and change this nation and fill stadiums full of... Why not? Why couldn't we? Because we don't believe that the Holy Spirit can do what it's supposed to do. We don't truly trust that God will just use us, which turns around to us getting in the way. It's surrendering. The awesome picture the Bible talks about and Doug talked about down in Kansas was the refining of the gold. That takes heat to take all the crap and burn it off and get it away. That's what we need to do. The Word of God needs to refine us so the crap can leave and we're sitting there to be able to reflect the image of Jesus Christ. And that takes tough times to do that. But in tough times, people pay attention. Why? How do you know that? Because I pay attention to people when they're going through tough times. You pay attention to people when they go through tough times. Therefore, you know they're watching you when you're going through a tough time. What will we do with our trials? What will we do with the times that God has given us the opportunity to shine forth His kingdom? How can we say we care for one another when we're watching the floodwaters sweep our family and our friends away? Time is of the essence. The water's rising and the current's moving. Are we a hypocrite? The greatest cause of atheism in the world today are Christians who honor Him with their lips and dishonor Him with their life. That is simply what an unbelieving world finds unbelievable. How many times do we get in the way? I get in the way plenty of times. Surrender. What am I throwing them from the shore as they're being swept away by the current? My passion will come out. Is my passion of the American dream going to save them from that current? Is my passion of knowing every sports team and every player and every statistic of every sports player or every Hollywood movie star or my knowledge of every Pioneer seed corn hybrid going to save them? It's not. What am I passionate about? What will come out when somebody that I love is being swept away in the current? It's not going to do them any good to tell them the best corn that I've got. to tell them how good it does here or good it does there, they ain't going to care. But in an emergency situation, when we are called to act upon what we know, what's going to come out? What are we passionate about? Psalm chapter 71, 1 through 8. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed in your righteousness. Deliver me. Pay attention to every time through these Psalms over the weekend where God comforts, saves, and delivers, and underline them. And see how many times you hear that through this Psalm. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and the ruthless man, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth, by you I have been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Taken refuge. God has delivered me. God has saved me. God has saved me. Fortress, rescue, my hope, my confidence. God has sustained me. You're my strong refuge. How? That is what we need. How? How can these be? Because I believe it enough, and I'm obsessed with God's word enough and the character of who God is, and I trust his faithfulness that I live it, and then it comes out as my muscle memory of what I go to. That is how we can have these. When we say, God, I want you. I need you to be my rock. I need you to be my Savior. Bring me my salvation through this problem. Protect me. Comfort me. Verse 6 says continually. Verse 8, my mouth is filled with your praise. What is coming out? If something is continually coming out, what does that mean? It's always coming out. If my mouth is filled with it, can it be filled with any other garbage? It's already full if it's filled. Nothing else can fit. Means nothing else can come out. How can I have that stuff that God promises me? It's to build it within myself first. How do I build it within myself first? It's to surrender myself first. My overall balloon theme from Kansas was my humility equals God's deliverance. It's humility. That's what it starts with, is humility. If I want deliverance from God and all my problems and all these situations and all the things that I deal with, I must first humble myself. But I don't like that, because I like to try to fix things myself. I like to do things my own way. Why would a book written so many thousands of years ago and a God who knows me so intimately know how to do it versus myself? I don't know. Verse 15, skip down to 15. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long. What comes out of our mouth so often? What do the people that we surround ourselves with, how do they know you? One of the biggest convictions to yourself would be to ask yourself, if I died right now and somebody went to my funeral, would they know that I loved Jesus? Because you can't change it then. What comes out of our mouth? Verse 10 and 11, For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver him. Here's the cool part with people watching. They want you to fail. They will call your bluff. Do you walk the talk that you talk? Do your enemies say that God has forsaken him? If they don't know who Jesus is, do they look at God as your Savior? Can they see that? Because if you don't show it, they will call your bluff. Why do I want your God if you can't handle that situation that way? Or if you react that way, if you blow a rod and you yell and you scream, or whatever it may be that is your problem that you fail with, like me, is usually comes out ugly that way. When I don't need to bite like a junkyard dog, but I bite like a junkyard dog when I shouldn't do that. Why would somebody want the hope and the joy that I supposedly have? Verse 14 through 18. But as for me, I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. How are we going to praise him more and more? Because of what verses 1 through 8 say. How many times did we say that I was saved, that he rescued me, that he was my fortress, my refuge? That's how we can praise. But as for me, I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. It's going to be neat someday to see all the inexhaustible things that God has done for us that we don't even have a clue that he's done. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. But I'm the one that fixed that problem. But it was because of me that this happened. Didn't you see how good I did that? Whose righteousness are we trying to show? Are we trying to show ours or God alone's? Verse 17, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. Do I? Do I still declare God's wondrous deeds? Something will reflect off of us. No matter what the situation is, no matter how we handle the situation, something will reflect. How will we declare? Verse 18, and even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. Why wait? Why are we supposed to wait? We're not supposed to wait. We need to do it now. We just like to wait because we always like to think that we're unfit and we're not ready. And God can't do this. God can't do that. God, I'm not ready for this. God, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't. Whatever it may be. That's the problem. It's not up to us. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't have to wait till we think we're ready and mature enough to teach our kids about who Jesus is. Or to teach our friends. Well, they're just, I don't know, they're living kind of a wild lifestyle. I'm kind of living a wild lifestyle. I don't know if I'm comfortable enough telling them about Jesus or not, or I just... None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. What's the worst they can tell you? I've had one kid tell me, well, you know what, I just ain't ready for it yet. Okay. Your choice, not mine. God has you designed to work in somebody's life. It's up to us if we work in somebody's life. God will figure the details out. God will align all the pieces. God will do that. It's just us, up to us to be willing to be able to do it. Verse 19, for your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you, you have shown me many troubles and distress. You will revive me again, and you will bring me up from the depths of the earth. What is deeper than the depths of the earth? When you think that you're floating around in a bowl of jello and you're swimming and you can't get out, and the world is compressing around you and crushing you like a can, do you think that's too far gone for God to be able to use you or bring you back from something? Jonah's prayer when he was in the belly of the fish said the same things. From the roots of the mountains, from the depths of the seas, God, you delivered me. You can't get much deeper than that. It doesn't matter what our problems are. That's the other good thing about it. God can use our problems to work for good in somebody else's life. 21, may you increase my greatness and turn to comfort me, and I will also praise you with a harp. Even your truth, O my God, to you I will sing praises with the lyre. O Holy One of Israel, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed. My tongue also will utter your righteousness all day long, for they are ashamed, for they are humiliated, who seek my hurt. For somebody to be shamed and humiliated, do they have to see the outcome of something that they said wouldn't happen? They see it. The people that oppose us for our thoughts and our actions and how we try to do things and why we sit in churches all weekend for hours upon hours with people from all over the United States, they will be ashamed and humiliated. That's because they see the glory that it truly brings. That's why it's just as much as important for us to reflect that upon those people who oppose us as it is for us to learn this weekend. Because they'll see it. They'll see the change in our life. There is no stability in this world. I am sorry. Anything on this earth, it don't matter how much money you got in the bank account, what type of car you drive, what type of friends you have, what type of parents you have, the list goes on and on and on. There ain't no stability in this world. So why do we try so hard to make it? It's not what God needs us to be doing. That's the foundation that I look at what this weekend's doing. It's going to build a foundation that can change and turn up that fire and bring that uncomfortable heat on us. We should be uncomfortable this weekend at some point through the weekend. We need to be uncomfortable. And you need to heed to that feeling of uncomfortableness and do something with it. God's work will still get done, but it'll just be by somebody else. We will miss out on the opportunity to bring glory to Jesus Christ. So pay attention when you're sitting here this weekend and you're tired or you've ate too much or whatever the problem is. When you feel that nudge and you feel that heat getting turned up and you have the Holy Spirit lay something on your heart, and it may just be sharing or going up and talking to somebody from all over this United States that you've never met before or you've never really talked to before. But there may be hidden value in that that you don't see unless you step out of your comfort zone and you go talk to somebody. That's what these weekends are for. Don't miss the opportunity. There's going to be plenty of things to reflect upon and to grow with and to share with one another and fellowship with one another. There's many great teachers that have been many great places that are going to be standing here the next few hours, the next few days. So, what I ask is that you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to tame down the chaos and distractions that you're going to fight this weekend. It's a spiritual battle. We all know that. You think Satan wants this to happen this weekend? Because he's scared what the truth is that's going to come out of this building and that's going to affect this nation. Don't you want to be ready for battle? Don't you want to make him shake in his boots? I do. So let's do something good for the kingdom of God this weekend. Let's make a difference. Take something, hold on to it, and challenge yourself to reflect it upon somebody that you've never talked to when you get home or when you get back to your work. So, I'm going to quit, and we'll just see where this weekend takes us. But I think it's going to be a fun ride. We'll close in prayer. Father, I just thank you again for bringing so many people together this weekend. What a blessing and truly what an honor it is to be able to be around so many mighty warriors of yours. We just pray that you can help us to just heed your call when you knock upon our door, that we don't ignore your knock, but we answer it and we let you in. Father, we just pray that you can just continue to bless the fellowship and the conversations and just help strengthen the faithfulness that we need through you this weekend. And I just pray that as we all go home tonight and we're traveling back and forth to church, that you just may lay a hand of protection over us to get us to and from safely, and for the weather just to hold back and not cause any issues, so there's nothing that hinder us from being together. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.